We'll be back into our usual series in September, so continuing with Jewels in Jeremiah, chapter 6 of the prophecy of Jeremiah this evening. And maybe starting to read from verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 10, let us hear God's word. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days, and their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. There's no integrity. They have also healed the hurts of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpets. But they said, we will not listen. May God give us listening ears this evening. Now let's bow our heads. Quo vadis? Where are you going? Jeremiah, as we saw this morning, is called of God to warn God's people about impending judgments. And as we saw this morning, he was given a challenge to find one man of integrity, one righteous person, and none could be found. And it's only in the greater than Jeremiah, Jesus Christ, that we have one who is good enough to pay the price for our sin and to unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. But one of the saddest things about God's people, not just the surrounding nations, but Judah and Benjamin, was that they did not realize their state before God. They were lost and they were oblivious to the fact. And so in this chapter, this is another jewel. Jeremiah is told to tell the people, so if you want a verse tonight, it's verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls. I've just got four things, and we won't be long, to bring out of this verse tonight. And the first point is quite simply this. Do you realize, says Jeremiah, that you're lost? Stand in the ways. A better translation is stand in the crossroads. So here are a people who've gone astray, they've traveled in the wrong direction, away from God, and they've reached a crossroads. And there's a choice to be made. And what they've got to do is stop and think and start asking themselves, have we got lost here? Now, I've got many experiences, as you probably know, of getting lost in spite of having a degree in geography. Maybe that's the problem, because pride is behind that. But one experience that comes vividly to mind tonight is preaching in a mission in a little chapel called Bryn Moriah, way beyond Carmarthen, in the hills, in the middle of nowhere. There is this chapel called Bryn Moriah. It's like an Old Testament place. And I had Owen Batstone as my chauffeur, and we managed to find the chapel all right, because it was still daytime. But after the meeting was over, it was dark, it was wet, it was foggy. And so we started driving back home to Cardiff, or we thought we did. And we carried on for miles and miles and miles. We couldn't tell that the road was not the same as the one we came along because of the weather. But then we got to a crossroads. And there was a sign on the crossroads that said Fishguard. That way. Now, by that point, we realized that we'd gone astray. Because you don't need to know much geography to realize that Fishguard is very far west, much further than Carmarthen. So that's the first thing we need to do. So I'm preaching not just to unbelievers, but to every one of us. Remember the revival that they experienced in the 70s and 80s in Romania under Joseph Son? What was the crux of it? The repentance of the repentant ones. So do we realize that in the West, at any rate, things spiritually are not what they once were? We've lost our way. We've gone away from the Lord. It's uncomfortable, isn't it, to admit that we have got lost. Like my degree in geography, we are so privileged in the West with our theological heritage, with our church history, with our resources. But you know, you can have all of that and still be spiritually lost. You remember the accounts of the Chinese Christians. China has experienced a great movement of the Spirit in the last decades. And these Chinese believers were invited to North America. And in the United States, the evangelical church is huge. And they were being shown round this mega church. And, you know, they were shown all sorts of things. And the host asked the brethren from China, "So what do you think?" And the Chinese believer said, "We're mightily impressed at how much one can do without the power of the Holy Spirit." So, we're lost, says Jeremiah to the people. I don't want to go through the details in the reading because we had them this morning. There was no person of integrity. Let me just read just a couple of verses. Verse 13, from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, from the common person, all the way to the religious leaders, everyone deals falsely. The prophets especially weren't preaching God's word. They were full of wind, not the Holy Spirit. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And what we didn't mention this morning, and I find this very challenging, nor did they know how to blush. When did you last blush because of sin? Haven't our consciences become desensitized? We're lost. We can be saved, yes, but we can go away from the Lord. And if we're not saved, we're well and truly lost. So that's the first thing. You realize that you're lost. And now coming to the verse in particular this evening, what's the next thing you do? You ask for directions, don't you? Once you've made the humbling admission that you haven't got a clue where you are and which way to go, you ask a person who knows for the right way. And so this is what God is saying to his people through Jeremiah. Stand at the crossroads. You've come here, and finally you've had your eyes open to the fact that you've lost your way, and ask for the old paths. Ask for the right directions. Have you ever given directions to somebody? I was once jogging out in the countryside. You know what these country lanes are like, high hedges, it's easy to get lost. And a motorist stopped and asked me the way to a certain village. And I get all flustered trying to give directions to people. So I said something along these lines. Well, you need to go down this road until you come to the little hamlet down the bottom of the valley, and then you'll come to a little roundabout, and then you want to take the third turning right, and then you go up this hill and make sure you don't turn right halfway up the hill. And then if you kind of follow on up the hill, you'll come to a crossroads, and then, I'm getting confused now, you'll need to take another turning. And I was going on and on like this. I could see the people I was giving directions to getting extremely confused. It's not like that when it comes to God's roadmap. Ask for what? Are these complicated directions? The old, old story of Jesus and his love. What are these old paths? Now, there's a lot of confusion here, right? Some people would say, it's quite simple. What the church needs is to go back to the authorized version. This is going on the old paths. Now, I love this King James Bible. I really do. But that's not what's meant by the old paths, for the simple reason that Jeremiah didn't have the King James Version. Others say, well, it's quite simple. All we need to do is make sure that we sing old hymns, that we have an organ, that we have suits and ties, if you're men. Again, it's not that simple, is it? Because, to put it simply, Jeremiah didn't have those things. It's much deeper than that. So I think Mary Peckham brought it out in that song. That's why I wanted to have it played. The old paths, the old-fashioned ways. This is not human traditions. This is big in Jeremiah. The religious leaders were big on religious traditions. And God says, in effect, your traditions have nullified. What have they nullified? My word. Whatever translation that is, for Jeremiah, it would have been the Hebrew original. It's God's word. So Mary Peckham brought this out. God's word is not just old-fashioned, it's over and above fashion. It's truth unchanged, unchanging. So this is where we begin. How have we got lost? We've got lost because we've ignored the roadmap, God's word. Let me read a quotation. This frightened me when I came across it a few years ago. At some point, midway into the 20th century, Europeans and Americans discovered that they had lost all sense of direction. Formerly familiar markers along the way that had guided their personal and social lives, now disoriented, they no longer trusted the guideposts and groped in bewilderment, wandering in the dark, stumbling blindly. We've lost the ancient landmarks that our forefathers would have followed. God's word. God's word. Let me just very quickly open this up. Beyond fashion, timeless. What is God's word about? God. Immortal, invisible God. Only wise. God doesn't change. And then you and me, we're created by God. Yes, we're bodies, and bodies get older. Fashions come and go. But there is something inside of us that is timeless, the soul. And we're not right with God. So Mary Peckham sang about an old-fashioned sinner. We're all old-fashioned sinners here this evening. The world may change its labels as to what is sinful and as to what is good, but the all-knowing, unchanging God always sees sin as sin. Woe to them, said Isaiah, who call evil good and good evil. And then it doesn't finish there. If it did, there wouldn't be any reason in meeting tonight. There is a redemption that's been provided for old-fashioned sinners. And you know what that is? It's an old-fashioned Saviour, Jesus Christ, the one who is good enough. What did the writer to the Hebrews say? One of the shortest verses in the Bible. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Can you see what these old paths are? It's got nothing to do with a particular translation of the Bible. It's got nothing to do with particular hymns. It's got nothing to do with a particular instrument. Whatever period in this world's history you find yourself in, those things will differ. But there's one thing that remains the same. God, God's word, your soul, and thank God, Jesus Christ, the God-man, a Saviour who, I am amazed at the fact that Jesus Christ hasn't changed. Whatever the condition of people today, whatever the differences in culture, I know that people are sinners in need of a Saviour, and that Jesus Christ is the same, and his power is the same. And you know what? It's old-fashioned grace that saves us. It's not what we do, but what Christ has done. Christ didn't partly accomplish our salvation. He did 100% that was needed. And you know what grace is? Grace lavishes this undeserving gift upon us. Old-fashioned grace. And when we realize that, we're saved in that old-fashioned way. So the old paths. May this church ever be a place where this old, old story of Jesus and his love is declared, not just in the pulpit, but in the meetings. And even though it's old, it's ever new. Ever new. As you're getting older, I'm talking to people who may have been Christians for longer than I have. Aren't you learning more and more two truths? That I'm a greater sinner than I ever imagined myself to be. I don't know if I'm talking to you, but before I was converted, I realized I wasn't right with God. I deserved judgment. But having been delivered from that, and struggling not as much with outward but with heart sins, I've come to the conclusion I'm just a wretched sinner in and of myself. But secondly, you come to realize that Jesus Christ is such a precious Savior. The more you're aware of your wretchedness, oh, the more grateful I am to him being such a sufficient Saviour, the old paths. Don't get preoccupied just with old-fashioned things. Rise above that to the big, unchanging things. So realize you're lost, says Jeremiah, and then ask for directions. And then thirdly, what do? Ask for the old paths where the good way is. It's good, isn't it? This book, it's good. It's profitable. Jesus Christ, he's a good Saviour. There's no evil with him. The salvation that he has wrought for us, this old-fashioned grace, it's good. And then what do? Well, it's obvious. You walk in them. So what's this about? Come back to the initial illustration. You've got to a crossroads. You realized you got wrong. What do? You ask somebody for directions. They give you clear directions. And like I did with the motorist in the country lanes near here. And then what do? Do you say, that's wonderful? And remain where you are? Of course not. What do, this is hard, isn't it? You go back. You go back to where you went wrong. I used a word this morning which describes this perfectly. It's repentance. What is repentance? Repentance, metanoia, is turn. You are going the wrong way. You realize that you've gone astray. You ask for directions and you're told you need to go back. And you turn around and you go back. There's a turning. Have you turned? Are you still turning? We're going in a new direction now. We may slip, and there's nobody perfect, but are you going in a new way? Thinking again of the metaphor of the crossroads, if you're into the blues, you will know the motif of the crossroads, and it's in other art forms as well. But in terms of the blues, in the Mississippi Delta, there was a famous bluesman. Some of you may have heard of him, Robert Johnston. And apparently he wasn't that good a guitar player. But then one day, at the crossroads, he made a deal. Do you know who he made a deal with? The devil. Like Dr. Faustus. And he came out of that a wonderful guitar player and a singer of the blues, Robert Johnston. I don't think he was a very nice man, and he died young. A Christian, I think, using that metaphor, wrote a song. Do you know this? So here am I, at the crossroads. Unlike Robert Johnston, I'm no longer making a deal with the devil. It's because of the devil that I've got myself into this state. I'm going to turn back and return to God. But who do I talk to? I met Jesus, not Satan, at the crossroads, where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there, and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasure I will give you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. See what he offers me. Now my sins are forgiven. Here, down below. I don't know what kind of journey you've got. It's a pilgrimage, isn't it? It's a long and lonesome road, if we can use the same analogy. But listen, you've got forgiveness of sins down here. And up there, a home in heaven. Praise God, says this song. That's the way for me. Can you say that? This is the way for me. I was once going in another direction, and praise be to God, he brought me to my senses. I was convicted and realized I was wrong. And I repented. And I'm keeping on repenting. I'm going a new way now. And I know it's rough. I was going on the broad road that leads to destruction. And many were on it. But now I'm on the narrow road. And yes, it leads to glory. But it's rough, isn't it? And it's tough. And there's few on it. But I've got good company. Here's a quote. I'm coming to an end now. I said it was going to be a short meeting. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. And then you will find rest for your souls. This is a quotation. Come to me, says the world, and I will give you riches and pleasure. Come with me, says the devil, and I will give you greatness, power, and wisdom. Come unto me, says the Lord Jesus, and I will give you rest. Walk in the old paths, says the prophet Jeremiah, and you shall find rest for your souls. Isn't that true? If you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, not get preoccupied with all these other things that go in and out of fashion, but walk the old paths, there's a glory that is shed on your way. You might not live in times of great spiritual blessing, as we are, unfortunately, in the West, but Jesus Christ is walking with you, and that makes all the difference. Let me come to a conclusion here. Have you visited somewhere on holiday, and you read the brochure beforehand? Maybe you studied the maps, looked at the photographs. I was doing that this time last summer before going on my holiday to New York. I don't know how many of you have been to New York, but usually when you arrive somewhere, the actual place is a bit of a letdown. You may have looked at the brochures, and it might have been a beach with turquoise waters, and it might have been a hotel that just looks stunning, and then when you arrive, it's nothing like that. Well, let me tell you, New York is not like anything you've seen. I'd read about it, I'd seen the photos as a geographer, I'd studied the maps, but when you're actually there, you just haven't seen anything like it. The being there is much, much more wonderful than the reading about it. Do you know what? It's a bit like that with the old paths. You can know about Jesus Christ. You can know about all these things I've spoken about tonight. But have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? And those of us who have followed the Lord, can I ask you, are you still walking with him? Because once we do walk with the Lord, it's like the Queen of Sheba. You know the Queen of Sheba? She traveled all the way from Africa to Jerusalem to see King Solomon. She'd heard about Solomon's wisdom, about Solomon's wealth, about the glory of Solomon's court. And you know what she said when she arrived? The half hadn't been told me. The half hadn't been told me. It's like that with Jesus Christ. And you know what? This road, this long, winding, rough, and rowdy road, this narrow way, it's taking us home. It's taking us home. And you know, when we get not to New York, but when we get to the golden shores of Glory Land, we, after 1 second in heaven, will say, the half hadn't been told us. You know, 1 second in heaven will cause you to forget instantly all the troubles of traveling through this world. Well, very short message, but I trust in the Lord's ways to us, it'll be sweet, and that we will be a people that love to hear of the old paths, and that we will be walking those old paths, and others will come. We don't want to walk by ourselves, do we? We want a crowd to be traveling to Mount Zion for his name's sake. Amen.